Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do. Lorenza@gmail.com, or go to Twitter.
You get at Lorenza D. Smith. That's L-O-R-E-N-Z-A, D as in David Smith. So we look forward to having an awesome show tonight. Now, when you call in, if you want to share your thoughts by calling on 347-857-492, press 1. I identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number that I ask you to come on and just share your thoughts, but also identify yourself and location. Brother Carlos, our format basically going to focus around the March of Dimes. And we had one of the statements in that. We said, have you made your contribution to the March of Dimes? And I want you to be able to take time and share some of those thoughts that go in line with that topic for our listeners to understand, have you made your contribution to the March of Dimes? So before we move to that point, we just want to take a minute and let you kind of share some things about your resume, how you become to be in this position with the organization of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, so you can be working to sort of like cause us to jail like you're supposed to and do what we're supposed to do in the form of service. We just want you to share your thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Smith. I am Brother Carlos Williams of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. A little bit about me. I have been serving with Phi Beta Sigma, good gosh, for over 20 years now. It's been a minute, but when I first came on in leadership of Phi Beta Sigma, I started on the local level where I was a chapter president and, you know, did various positions within my local chapter. Then I did some things on the state level, and then I met you, as a matter of fact, when you were regional director of Phi Beta Sigma, and I served under you as director of publicity. And I also worked on a number of other initiatives, you know, under you and under other regional directors over the years. And, you know, I worked my way up, and now I'm on the International General Board, where I've served for the past, 5 years, but I've served in different positions on the international board, but in my present position as international chairman for Phi Beta Sigma's partnership with the March of Dimes, I've been doing that for the past 5 years. So I'm very passionate about our work with the March of Dimes. I think I've kind of found my niche as far as, you know, doing the programmatic initiatives of the fraternity, and, you know, this is what I do. I love it, and so it's a work of passion for me, so I'm having a good time doing it, and it's all about helping the babies.
And that's awesome. That's awesome, Carlos, because, you know, we have to take time and serve. You join an organization, and you're not there to serve, and your focus is just social, then you're kind of missing on the board. And I do appreciate all the thing, the commitment. I can go back and say I really, as a young man, and being a regional director and then having you there with publicity, we did some things that was innovative at that time that they're doing now. So I'm really proud to have you as the director of publicity and look forward to continue to work with you. So we're just going to kind of move forward with it. When we're talking about the March of Dimes, can you kind of give us a little background dealing with the March of Dimes and how it come to that Phi Beta Sigma eventually became partners so that international position you're serving, it can really do what it's supposed to do?
Okay, well, the March of Dimes is the premier agency that works for the betterment of children born with birth defects and premature births. Okay, so the March of Dimes believe that every baby deserves the best possible start. But as we know, most babies don't all have the same kind of start at life because they come into the world under complications. So the mission of the March of Dimes, you know, they lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. And they do this by improving the health of babies by preventing birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality. So the funds that you raise through March for Babies and the work that you do with the March of Dimes, it goes to three things. One, to fund research, to understand problems and discover answers leading to prevention and treatment. And one of the most fascinating things I've heard recently when I was at the International March of Dimes meeting in Washington, D.C. during the Congressional Black Caucus over the summer is that, you know, they're very close to trying to figuring out why we have premature births. They know that it is because of something genetic, but they're not exactly sure what that trigger is that causes the mother to go into labor early, right? And so what we found over the years, and you'll see when you go to marchofdimes.org and marchforbabies.org, that they've changed their marketing and their imaging to show more African Americans and minorities, because in their research they found that African American women are more likely to have premature births, right? And so they took that and said, okay, well, we're going to compare African American women not only to other races in America, but we're going to compare them to other races all over the world. And what the fascinating thing is that Black women in other parts of the world, their premature and infant mortality rates are very, very low, whereas African-American women in the United States is very, very high, right? And so they're like, well, what is it? Is it in the food? Is it in what we're drinking? What is it? So they started, you know, and they've been researching this stuff for years, and they've narrowed it down to what they think it is, and this is where the whole room went silent. They think that it is, there's a, how do I say it, that there is a relationship between the stress that African American women experience in the United States through either racism or, you know, discrimination or all the other challenges that African American women face. They think there is a relationship between that stress and premature births. Now, they're that close to trying to figure out why that is, where exactly is the trigger, but they've gotten very close to figuring out that it's related to stress, and they're just trying to figure out where's the trigger being pulled. So you got, so we fund, we do raise money to fund research. We also raise funds to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies, and when babies are born premature or they're born with birth defects, they go to a place called a neonatal intensive care unit. Okay, try to say that real fast. Neonatal intensive care unit, and that is the hospital for sick babies. And so when mothers have to go there with their babies, you know, they can stay there for weeks. They could end up being there for months. And the March of Dimes actually puts the bill for the mom and the family to stay at the hospital. So they pay for the transportation, they pay for the hotel, and they actually put the kid, the parents of the child up so they can be there with their child. So the money that we raise and the work that we do with the March of Dimes is very, very important, especially because a majority of the babies that we're helping is babies in African-American communities that look like us. And so I think it's very, very important because they're the most valuable part of our society is our children. So that is what the March of Dimes is about. Now, how Phi Beta Sigma fits into that. Phi Beta Sigma's partnership with the March of Dimes is the very partnership ever for Phi Beta Sigma. We started this partnership back in the early 1980s. And under President Obama, he recognized our work, and we actually went into partnership with the White House under President Obama as a part of his I Am My Brother's Keeper initiative. Okay, so we were working very closely not only with the March of Dimes, but with the White House and President Obama. And Phi Beta Sigma was the only fraternity that was in partnership with the White House to do this initiative. So it's very, very important. So our work with the March of Dimes is called, our partnership is called Building Stronger Fathers. Okay? So it's more to it than the work that we do with the March of Dimes, raising money with March for Babies. Okay, the Building Stronger Fathers program, we do mentoring through our Sigma Beta Clubs and other organizations. And the Sigma Beta Club is the international mentoring group of Phi Beta Sigma. And we were the first fraternity to form an international mentoring group called the Sigma Beta Club. So that's part of our partnership with the March of Dimes. And we also have initiatives on the local level promoting fatherhood and programs like that. So where, do you want me to stop there? Because I can keep talking. I could talk about this all night.
And we want you to be able to talk about it as much. And so we have to know. However, what I want to make sure I do is give my call-in number. That's 347-857-4192. And also I have Dr. Smith, Dr. Olivia Smith, that's on the line as well. And she's a part of our guest expert crew that comes in, and she's on the line now. Let me allow her to say hello and welcome. Dr. Smith.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Hi. How are you all?
We're fine. Okay.
Great.
Okay. Awesome. We have Brother Carlos Williams here on the line. He's been giving some outstanding information, some things that I didn't know. Sometimes when we just hear things and we don't understand it and then see how the partnerships are developing for a good purpose. And he was talking, and I know he had to catch his breath, but I wanted to make sure I get you in on the line. And if you maybe, if you don't mind, Carlos, Dr. Smith may want to have a question or have if she can ask a question or just share some thought with you as she's talking from her position in the social aspects.
Well,
okay, that sounds good.
Greetings to you. I am Dr. Olivia Smith. I am very interested in March of Dimes and the initiative that you all are part of, especially when you talk about African American women and the level of stress that we have that may equate to premature babies or premature births in America. And I find that topic very, very interesting. Because for years, March of Dimes has been doing research, and, you know, and as a child, I collected the little cards with the dimes in them to support the research. You remember that or no?
Yes.
I remember that.
You remember the little cards?
Yeah.
So to hear this, it's exciting, you know, what's taking place. And I hope that that research is published, you know, so that we can follow that in months to come. I think it's great, and you sound excited about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if at any chance you have had some readings or if they introduce any of the information regarding the Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. It's a book written by Rebecca Lou. I may not be pronouncing it correct, but Rebecca, SKLOOT.
That sounds familiar. I think they did touch on that at the conference that I attended in Washington, D.C. I think they did mention that. Yep, sounds familiar.
Yeah, if you have not read the book, I would suggest it. It's an excellent read. It's easy reading. And, you know, it talks about how John Hopkins and other researchers over the years the cells from this African-American woman and how her cells have grown throughout the years. And they don't die. They multiply.
Right. Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, it's an awesome read. I would recommend that. They talked about March of Dimes also in the book, Tuskegee Research, and how her family did not benefit largely from the research, but I guess medical doctors and medical society benefited more financially because the research around that grew and they were able to utilize some of those sales, you know, in the research to make money and sell it back. So it's an awesome read. And when you talked about March of Dimes, I got excited because this is a book I keep close to me. And I know that Morehouse School of Medicine has a conference every year, maybe about September, August, September, or October time frame. They have a conference regarding the HELOC sales. So you might want to put that on your to-do list if that's something you're interested in. I am. I'm a social worker. So when I first, you know, was introduced to the HELOC sales and information regarding the author, I went to her presentation, and she talked about how she did this study. I mean, not really a study, but interaction with the family itself, and how her work just grew into writing a book about the family and about these sales. So exciting, especially how it links to March of Dimes, March of Dimes research as well.
All right.
So if you, all right, and that, if you edit, that's an awesome read.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Smith, we're going to, Brother Carlos, we're going to kind of like, we know our time is being pressed within a time frame.
Yep.
We talked about the first segment.
Okay.
Can you just share some thoughts about how any agency, just for example, as Phi Beta Sigma became partners and been working since the 80s, are there any organization that you can recommend the way for those organizations to become partnered with the March of Dimes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The March of Dimes is always looking to partner with organizations, and I'm a member of Prince Hall Masonry, and I've gotten the Mason Lodge in my area to get involved with the March of Dimes. So if you want to partner with the March of Dimes and do some work with them, I have an email address that you can email. It is events, events, at March of Dimes, all together, that's marchofdimes.org. So it's events at marchofdimes.org. And so you send them an email and say, hey, you know, I'm in such and such agency and I would like to partner with you, and they'll reach back out to you and make it happen.
And that's good. That's a way to contact and just get your organization so they can be a partner. Just be a partner. We need to be a partner. And like I said, our time is being pressed, Brother Carlos.
Yes,
just in regards to, is there a designated month that the March of Dimes identify as this month as we're going to do specific things, specific events, and what month is it? And next thing to add to that so we can piggyback off there, how can our listeners contribute or support the March of Dimes? And you can tell them how they can make their donation, and we'll go from there.
Okay, absolutely. Well, the month of November is the month for the March of Dimes, and they call it Prematurity Awareness Month. And so during the month of November, there's all kinds of activities and events where we're increasing awareness of premature births, you know, in this country. And so we're doing a lot of fundraising in November. We're doing a lot of awareness events in November. So November is the month And so I'm a Sigma. I like blue, but in November I wear a lot of purple because that is the color for the March of Dimes. So, you know, I throw a little Sigma blue in there somewhere, but I wear purple in the month of November to bring awareness to premature births. And you asked how to make a donation. Well, if you go to marchofdimes.org, you can make your tax-deductible donation there. If you want to work with March for Babies, you can go to marchforbabies.org, and that website has a lot of information as far as March for Babies walks in your area. You can sign up a team there. You can even use the website for fundraising through social media. You can sign up for your walks. You can do everything at marchforbabies.org if you want to be involved in a March for Babies event in your area. So it's two ways that you can contribute a donation, through marchofdimes.org, or if you want to participate in March for Babies, you can go to marchforbabies.org.
All right. And the last thing I just want to say, because being a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity and you being that chairperson with the March of Dimes, you can take this opportunity to make appeal to all the frat brothers and the chapters and the blue and white to make their contribution, because we got a drive that we have. And when I say we got to go, we're going to reach. And as the chairperson, that's one of your jobs through as the chairperson, the international chairperson. Can you just share some thoughts on that right quick and make your appeal and leave some information with them as we close out on this thing?
Absolutely. Well, our international president, Honorable Brother Michael Crystal, he has set a goal for Phi Beta Sigma and the March of Dimes for this year, 2018, of $200,000. That sounds like a lot of money, but over the past 5 years since I've come into this position, we have topped $100,000 every year for the past 5 years, and we closed out 2017 with $169,000. So, I mean, we're knocking on the door of $200,000, and I know that we can get there, but we need all the chapters to participate. We need alumni chapters, especially our collegiate chapters on these college campuses. We need the collegiates to get involved. We need our Sigma Beta clubs to get involved. And we need our alumni chapters to get involved. We need to do this all together as a blue and white family. And if we do that, we will definitely reach $200,000. And that would be an all-time high for the men of Phi Beta Sigma with the March of Dimes. And it would also continue our status with the March of Dimes as a national service partner. Because of the work that March of Dimes does, we are looked at as a national service partner with the March of Dimes. So we're in the same class as Publix, Circle K, Jack and Jill, you know, all of these other organizations and Fortune 500 companies. We're sitting at the table with them, you know, trying to improve the health of our babies. So, men of Phi Beta Sigma, you know, let's get out there. Let's do this thing. We can make it happen. And if any brothers are listening, go to our special page that the March of Dimes has set up for us. It is www.marchofdimes.org/Phi Beta Sigma. If you go there, you'll see a special page that the March of Dimes has created just for the men of Phi Beta Sigma, so we can go and we can sign up and we can get involved. And I want to make sure that I gave the right website address. Nope, I didn't. Okay, scratch that. The website address is www.marchforbabies.org/Phi Beta Sigma. marchforbabies.org/Phi Beta Sigma. If you go there, men of Sigma, you're going to find all the information that you need, and you'll be able to sign up your chapters and get involved.
That's awesome. Carlos, we really thank you for coming on tonight, and and you initiate the appeal to all the members of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, whether they're part of the Blue and White family at Sigma Beta Club or whatever, wives or whoever they may be. We issue that to you. That's why Talking Real to You is here, because we can offer you another look at it. And I'll make sure that that information is posted on my web page or posted on Talking Real to You web page, as well as, you know, any other information we have in regards to the March of Dimes, so we can make sure everybody plays a major role. Again, Carlos, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, and I look forward to talking with you very soon, my brother. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. You have an awesome night, Carlos. We're going to take about a 3 or 4 minute break here, and then we're going to get our second segment here, and we're going to kind of go from just talking about that specific project to moving to education, as well as teacher raises in the state of Alabama and other places. So we just want to play a little music for you, and it's just, as we said, we're all about having fun, and the call-in number is 347-857-4192. But we're going to play a little music, play about 3 minutes of it, and this is May, before I let go. Hey, we're back again. We're very excited with the second segment of the show. And we just want to say, you know, as May said, before we let you go, we got to make sure we take time to talk about some of those issues that's been addressed in our community. I have on the line now my co-host, and that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. And, you know, I'm going to take the coach. I'm going to say Lauren D. Smith. Are you there, Lauren?
Yes, I'm here. Handling a little business tonight. Sorry for the tardiness, but I guess they say, you know, you better show up. If you better show up than not show up. So I'm here now. I'm ready to get it popping. What's up?
Oh, let's make it happen, Melinda. Let's make it happen. And also, I have Dr. Smith still on the line. I want Dr. Smith to play a part in our second half of our show. So, Dr. Smith, you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, awesome. It's glad to have y'all. You know, we always want to make sure we have our guests come in and really enjoy themselves. And we thank Carlos for coming in, Carlos Williams for coming in with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated in regards to the chair, international chairperson of the March of Dimes. And that's a partnership. Goes back to the 1980s. So we applaud Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity as well as Carlos for coming in. But now we have some issues we want to talk about. And we're going to look at some issues dealing with education. I got a text recently that said, well, y'all just focus on what's going on in Montgomery. You know what? There's enough to go on in Montgomery that we need to focus on. And there's nothing wrong with that because there's so many things occurring dealing with education. We got to understand education is not just a process. Education is a milestone for our young people to be successful. So it's a chance for them to be successful. So we got to give them the best opportunity. So when things are going on that are not allowing them to do that, we're going to talk about it because that's a life issue. And that's what Talking Real to You is all about. Our call in number is 347-857-4192. All right, my co-host and my special expert guest, we're going to look at the issue dealing with education. There's been so much going on in Montgomery Public Schools for the last month or so, but there's another step been taken because it has to do with not the sale of the middle school. They're now talking about outsourcing or subcontracting classified positions. Those classified positions could be lunchroom people, bus driver, well, lunchroom people, custodians, paraprofessionals, aides, secretaries, whoever it may be. They're talking about going through a subcontract process. I just want to get your thoughts on that. How do y'all feel about now to save money they decided to start cutting heavy in the individual who's not at the top of the chart? They're at the bottom 90 by getting it, like you're cutting the knees from up on the people. But I'll say that. That's what it sounds like to me, cutting the knees out from under the school system. Let me get y'all thoughts on that.
I'll go ahead and put my two cents in. I think they're trying to touch a problem, touch something that's not the problem without really touching the problem. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to say we're going to get rid of these people to cut down the budget, but the real problem is it's not really them. It's the people in the classroom. The real problem is not the secretaries, the custodians, none of that. The real problem is the people in the classroom. So I think they're trying to touch something that's really not a problem, and I think that's going to turn into a problem.
Okay. All right.
Olivia Smith, I agree with what you just said. That's not the issue. That's not a problem. I mean, why would you cut those support positions that really make teachers are essential, but these are the positions that really support the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And when you outsource those positions, who do you outsource them to? You know, for so long these positions have been an intricate part of education. until you, if you outsource, then I don't know how compatible a company would be and what model are they using to outsource those positions. That's a question, not that you have to answer that.
Mm-hmm. But just to kind of move on with that discussion in regards to that, one thing about our classified personnel, as you know, a lot of time those classified personnel are people in the community. A lot of time parents, grandparents, uncles, aunties of a lot of our children in the school system. They have a vested interest in the school being successful. However, as I said, cutting the Board of Education, they tried to cut the head off. They couldn't cut the head off, not as of this point. And what I'm saying is they have made a personal request to remove everybody on the board and get other people elected. That's the way to cut the head off right there, because you get new people, they don't know what's going in. But if you can't get that to happen, then you use to the lower level, at the level down where there are some outstanding people, some good employees, some classified individuals who's committed to the chance of success for our young people. And if you take them out, and when you're talking about outsourcing, who you're outsourcing with, are they capable? Now, some people say, well, they can work with those companies. Really, are you going to get the same production when you outsource? Because we know when you start outsourcing, you might get just like Kelly Service. And I'll use Kelly Service, not just a reflection on them, but I will say Kelly Service, they did that with substitute teachers here in Alabama. You know, they use Kelly Service, and it may work pretty good from the beginning, but are you really getting the individuals that you really need? When you take away those classified people who have been a vital part of, a very important part of the success of our school, and when you take them, you take 400, 500, or 600 of them, now you're going to make the top feel it and say, now we remove them, now what you going to do? Don't blame me as a superintendent. Don't blame me for making that decision. I'm talking about the state superintendent. Blame that Board of Education because they wouldn't sell George Washington Middle School. We needed the money, so we couldn't get the money. So what we did, we got rid of those people down there for the BD. So if we get rid of enough of them, now they're going to start complaining to you. So now they're going to elect somebody else. I don't like that kind of politics. I don't like the way you're doing that. Because you're taking away, and that's my point of view. But y'all, we can jump in there. We can jump in. Share some more thoughts about that. Share some more thoughts about that. Just the ideal of just putting people in a position where they might can't join on to that that subcontractor, and they be without a job. Now, enough of us without a job, and we start complaining. Now we're gonna go because we are voters. Now they are voters, so. They're going to get rid of the board members. Is that the answer? Are we still fighting, and are we going to win at this fight? That's the thought right there. Are we still fighting this thing, and are we going to be successful with this? Is it good to be fighting like this? And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
I'll go ahead and go. I don't think it's good. Let me tell you why. As everybody knows, I coach high school boys in the summertime, and What these adults don't understand is that these high school kids are reading, listening. Last week they had a press conference about how they were going to cut these jobs, and the next day I get in the car, and that's the first thing these kids are talking about is how it seems like they care more about themselves than they care about them. And I couldn't disagree with them because I felt the same way. They're putting personal agenda ahead of education and the children's future, and what the concerns are in the school. Like I said, it's the young man that's always with me, they call him my right hip, but he know everything, and he don't agree with none of it. You know, he doesn't agree with how he was sent to alternative school rather than addressing the problem. He doesn't agree with the cutting of jobs because he said, Coach Smith, aren't you an A? I said, yeah, I was at one point. He said, so that means you'll be no more you. I said, yeah, that's what it means. No, they can't cut your job. They can't cut your job because you do a good job. You do a good job. And A's are important when it comes to teachers and in the classroom. A's are needed. A's are wanted. I've been one. that's a position that I don't think needs to be cutting, as well as the secretary. You know, now they started where they get parents to volunteer to do it. And you volunteer at me, I don't have to pay you. So, once again, they're just trying to take the cheap way out, and I don't agree with you. So, that's my 2 cents on that.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay?
What have they done in Montgomery? Have they been able to pull together focus groups that allow student input, parental input?
And Dr. Smith, and everything you're asking, I can tell you is no. See, the problem I have with this is that it's like one of those moves, those strong arm moves that we're going to press you to make sure you do that. Just like Lauren said, she said about that young man. That young man saying that if the people that showing that they care about them, and a lot of them in school because of someone show that they care. Children care when they know you care. So they're not putting any, the plan is just, we're going to cut this. You know, at what point will you explain what is the plan? How, by cutting or outsourcing, or in other words, subcontracting these individuals, taking them out of the job, even though they could join on, they could be hired by that outsource. But you know what that is? You're going to pick and choose. That's just like starting a magnet school. You're going to pick and choose who's going to go to that school, and everybody else is going to be left over there in the traditional school. So my point is, I hadn't heard of any group sitting, they offer to anybody, they offer parents to come, but they never let anybody, the stakeholders be involved on the planning. It's children not a part of the planning, and the parents not a plan, the community not, it's just decision being made, and they think that was the best decision in the world. But that's may not answer your question totally, but they are not involved with the planning process. Getting this situation where it needs, I mean, getting the school system where it needs to be. Yep. So that kind of gives you, don't give the whole picture, but that's what we sort of like dealing with this outsourcing of the classified position, and that's where we are, and where it go from here is. It's a rough hill to climb. It's going to be a lot of infighting going on tonight, and I do personally believe that. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. So we want you to call in. Just press 1. We'll identify you by the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number, and then we'll ask you to identify yourself. All right, still on that topic of the Montgomery Public Schools, but this is in regards to the charter schools. And in regards to the charter schools, there are two types of charter schools. You have a conversion, meaning they're going to take schools already in existence, because charter schools are public schools. People got to remember, they are public schools. They're going to use a conversion thought process, or either they're going to use the we got a lot of background feed there. We put it on mute, they're going to use what they call the startup. So I'm just going to throw this out to my team and let you have some discussion. The charter school group led by Ann Sykes have a plan in existence that's been offered to convert 4 schools in Montgomery. And I want you to hear where they are. I probably mentioned them in previous broadcasts. 4 schools in Montgomery, they wish you're going to feed up to one particular school, and they want to convert them to charter school, have the same criteria. But they also say, well, those kids over there still have a chance to go. But we know charter schools pick and choose who they want. So the 4 schools are Edward Davis Elementary, E.D. Nixon Elementary, Bellingraph Middle School, and Lanier Senior High School. This tell me how this being allowed, if it's happened, going to help our young people in each one of those schools. And I want y'all, your thought process on it. Well, it's a good idea. Will it improve our young people's chance for success?
I'll go ahead and go. Those 4 schools that were named, for the inclusion of the charter program. Those are four failing schools. Those four failing schools are in the same community. Those four failing schools are in the same poverty line. So now we have a different discussion. Are you including these four schools so you can ultimately grow that community and ultimately educate that poverty-stricken community, or is it another agenda? Now, that's what parents have to ask. Parents are asking the wrong questions. They're asking, you know, you're taking money out of public schools. They're not asking the correct questions. Those four schools are in the same neighborhood. Those four schools, if you go to Edie Nixon in elementary, you're going to Bell and Grass in middle, and you're going to Lanier for high. So it's a feeder. So I think that it's a good idea if we're doing it to help the kids because they're not achieving because of whatever reason, you know. But if it's something else, then no. But if it's that, yes.
Okay. All right.
And I have to agree with this spokesperson. This is the same community, same neighborhood, same group of children. How are the parents addressing the issue? How are the educators addressing the issue? And I think maybe at this point some of the educators need to call in and just give a viewpoint, not giving your name. You can give an issue, but call in with your perspective on this.
Exactly. You know, and like I said, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And just kind of, we're waiting for you to call in because you may have some thoughts. And I understand. Or you can email me at LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com because I've had individuals email me. A little background to kind of help us, and we're going to move forward with the next topic, which is the background is that you can apply for a charter application for a school of conversion, meaning the plan we just mentioned, or you can have startup, which is start from the ground. However, you still got criteria where you're selecting individuals to be in those schools, where you may keep those students. This attempt was made with the same thing about 10 years ago with Houston Hill. Houston Hill was supposed to have been a magnet school for that, but it was going to bring students in but also leave those individuals in the community. At this point, Houston Hill no longer exists because of if you got social issues, economic issues in the community, and if you don't address those issues, how you think you're going to address them when you get to school? The bottom line is, how do you think you're going to address them? And the same thing that goes on that causes those students to not be able to come to school, perform to the level. Until we can address that in the community, you can't come and start picking and choosing certain students out there to put them in that school and say, oh, we converting these. And then you're going to change the leadership. The leadership's going to change. What they're accustomed to in those schools, they won't see that type of leadership. So now the school numbers, just like they did from the M&M majority and minority in Montgomery, when they no longer had that because of the court system, they went to the magnet school. So the magnet school now pick and choose the student that go to the magnet school. So I know we're a lot of talk in Montgomery about charter schools, but let's be realistic. Magnet school is nothing but a school have the same format as a charter school, have the same format. The money follow the children. So the bottom line is we accepted magnet school, but now we're fighting against another form that may be to help our children in some form, some way. We have to do something to be successful and have our children have a chance for success. And just like the young man Lauren is talking about, he's seeing that he don't have a chance. If we keep on dealing with these things, you did ask us, but you decided to do this. You're fighting, but you don't include us. You ain't fighting over us. You seem like you're fighting over control of a particular area. So those are some of the thoughts there that we constantly hear within the talking within the communities of Montgomery, the state of Alabama. All right, the last thing is discussing teacher raises in the state of Alabama. I just want to take a few minutes to talk about the teachers receive a 2.5 increase, a raise coming up in by October the 1st. Is that raise enough? And that's the discussion we want to have. Is that 2.5 enough for a teacher? And I want us to kind of get on this. We're down to probably about 5 minutes, and I want us to share our thoughts on that. Is that raise enough? That pay raise enough?
Dr. Yeah. Smith here again, Olivia
yeah.
Smith. Uh-huh. I never think a raise is enough. I always want to see teachers paid because they're educating the people who become millionaires. They're educating the world. 2% is like, yes, I'm glad you recognize me, but how about 5%? How about more? I'm glad that they're getting a raise. But I always think teachers need to be compensated because they're spending monies out of their pocket just to make sure their classes run smooth and efficiently, and they're using their monies to support education. So you may have a budget that they use for supplies, et cetera, but I think they always need to take adequate money home. Because they're raising families, too. Their kids are in the education system. So I never think you can pay them enough for what they do.
That is all right. That is awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Coach Smith, you got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. I really don't like the 2% raise. I really think it should have been 5%. For the same reason that Dr. Smith said, is teachers do a lot, and that 2% raise is like, okay, we heard you, just don't go on strike. You know, it's just something, once again, to keep them quiet and keep them saying, well, at least we got something out to deal. You know, so I think it should be more because teachers do a lot. Teachers do a lot. They spend a lot. They go through a lot. Teachers are not only teachers, they're counselors, they're mama, they're daddy. They brother, they sister, they the police, they the drill sergeant. And then on top of all that, they still have to teach your kids. So are you saying that they're nothing but a 2.5% raise? No. I'm glad to see it, but I really believe it should be more.
Yeah, it should be more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, this is the first raise I think they had in a couple of years. So if I can remember, it's probably about 4 or 5 years ago that we got a 2%, 2.5%. But the insurance took 1% of that 2.5%. So the bottom line was they actually only got 1.5. So you're giving every 5 to 10 years, but you're only giving a minimum amount, which is 2.5. And I know they said the trust fund don't have the money, but if you want the best education, you need to make sure you get the money and you got to increase these taxes to make sure. You need to put in a plan, because I read something in one of the publications from the retirement system, and they was talking about Alabama is at the bottom in regards to spending money in reference to the children. I think it was like in all the states in the southeastern part of the United States, Alabama was down at the bottom on the list, like $3,100 in regards to taxes spent. And they paying like $80-some dollars per child or per whatever it is, per capita, whereas states like Louisiana paying $800-something. So they up there like $8,000 and $5,000. So they can give them the best education, whereas not saying, because the money do go through prisons, mental health, education, social services. It goes to all of that. But when you get a minimum amount of money, you're going to get, you know, you pay for what you get. And that's the thought we want to always keep in mind. If you're going to pay a penny, that's not what you're going to get, a penny worth. But I think the teachers, and I applaud teachers and educators and support personnel, because they give more than they actually get paid for, because Coach Smith said that, you know, they buy things. And as a former education, a retired educator, I'm going to tell you, spending money, you spend money all the time. You take children out on things. If you're dealing with athletic, they don't have no money to buy anything to eat. You got to buy them something to eat. Because they just don't have it. So you coming out of your pocket. But you can't get reimbursed for that, you know. And the thing about it, giving you 2.5 cents is nothing but just a penny in a barrel, a big bucket. It's just ringing at the bottom, and it ain't got no sound to it. It's just ringing. So what they need is to have more money, 2.5 every year for the next 10 years. Then you can, the employees and the teachers can feel important. Because that teacher, not only just teacher, but support personnel and everybody else. All right, but we're going to come to the end of the show now, and we're going to kind of close it off. And I want my co-host and my guest expert to kind of share some thoughts in the next 2 minutes as we close it off. And we'll make our effort to get back with you next week on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Co-host and then my guest expert, we want to share some words of wisdom with our audience and our listeners so we can close the show out.
Well, I'll go first here. I think it was an awesome show. I would encourage more teachers to call in, even if you do not use your name, maybe some initials, but I think your input is great at this point. You're the experts. You're having the one-on-one contact with the children, and you're trying to educate the world. Specifically in Montgomery, Alabama.
I got one thing to say.
Y'all pray for the coach. Pray for him for the rest of the week. Got a tough week coming up. We got a tournament in Nashville, Tennessee. It's the first tournament of the season. And y'all just pray for the coach. Pray for him, please. Send all prayers up directly to Jesus Hotline. He answered. I was talking to him early. He got back right to me. I know he's going to get back to you, so send prayers up for me. That's all I got for tonight.
Sure will, Coach. Stop prayers
sure
up. And also,
hey, you know what?
Your segment on March of Dimes was great. I think the work that Mr. Williams is doing is just great.
We appreciate it. And that's what it's all about, talking real to you, bringing you different forms of topics. Your real talk show, which they call themselves, they bring certain topics. They only address certain topics. We're going to talk to all topics. And these topics give you a chance to get clear understanding. So that's why you should listen to Talking Real to You. Again, we appreciate you talking with us tonight. Appreciate you listening. And hopefully next week we'll get more involvement out of our listeners by calling in. But, you know, it's an awesome show. We thank Brother Carlos Williams, the Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and the International Chair of the March of Dimes. We'll be back next week, again, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Also, we want to put our plug in for our show on Wednesday, where we're talking Sports Plus. You can call in 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, the same call-in number, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's 347-857-4192. And my co-host, Coach Tony Stallworth, Coach Darrell E-Train Elliott, Coach Tremaine Ellis, and Coach Lauren D. Smith, as well as myself, Dr. Lauren Smith. We look forward to talking with you. You have a wonderful night. And like my frat brother, my good friend, always say, take the day and don't let the day take you. At this point, take the night and don't let the night take you. Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you on Wednesday night. Everybody get on now.
because you know we got to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight, and I'ma make you feel alright. Come on, baby, just party with me. Let loose and set your body free. Leave your situations at the door, so when you step inside, jump on the floor. Situations.